it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we're ready, and we can't wait. Happy Monday to you, everybody. It is a manic Monday indeed. Getting a new week off and going here on Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., and Matt Scraby on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. I know that Monday is a little extra stressful for some people out there. Sometimes you're not feeling the best about things, but I will pass this along to you. At least you're not a lifelong, diehard Miami Dolphins football fan. You got that going for you out there, so it can't be all that bad. We will get into that in the... I'm honestly thinking of changing the name of the segment, guys, at the bottom of the hour today to The Good, The Bad, and The Dolphins instead of the...
I like it. That's a nice ring to
it.
They
can just have the whole ugly category to themselves.
Miami.
I had a long Sunday to be sure. So I'm actually happy that the sun has gone down and come up again, and it is a new day, and the Padres are back home, and they reached a low point, I think, in the minds of most people Friday night when Kyle Freeland of all people shut them down and. Almost looked like he was going to no-hit them, for heaven's sakes. You lose to the Rockies. It was the ninth loss in 11 games at that point. But, alas, back-to-back victories with the bats coming alive. And, frankly, good starting pitching in both games. Saturday, Randy Vasquez came through when we needed him. And Dylan Cease held the fort yesterday. So, Tony, the Padres arrive home. And I think one of the great things you can say is despite going 4-9 in their last 13 games, they are just still one game back of the Dodgers. You could be in a whole lot worse shape.
Yeah, losses are only important if the other team capitalizes on them this time of year.
Yeah.
And so, fortunately for the Padres, those losses amounted to nothing, to big old nothing burgers, because the Padres, as you said, going 4-9, remain one game out of first place. And, I think you kind of hit on the same thing that had happened before I was gone the past 5 days. When the Padres have gotten good starting pitching, their, fortunes are a whole lot better than they don't get good starting pitching. And good starting pitching for them is through five at this point. It's not even... getting to six. They get through five with their starter with a lead. A lot of times, mind you, in that five innings of work, you're keeping the game where it is and allowing the Padre offense to kind of do what we've seen them do the last couple of nights. And so, I think that's where it matters most for the Padres moving forward. If they get good starting pitching, they're going to have a lot more series like we saw, whether it's against the Rockies or whoever else they got coming up.
Yeah, if we haven't learned by now, I think we're making a mistake. Who cares what the winning percentage of the opponent is anymore?
Yes.
Right? We lost to the Rockies 3-0. We lost 3 to the Baltimore, but the Dodgers did too. We lost 2 out of 3 to the Twins. The Dodgers lost 3 to the Pirates. So enough about they're playing an easy opponent, they're playing a hard. Just go out, play good baseball, win these games. And you got 19 to go. You got a game. Actually, I guess you got two games to make up because of the Dodgers. It ends in a tie. The Dodgers would get the tie break. I still think it's important to try to get home field for that three-game series. It doesn't guarantee anything. And I think if you can play really good, maybe the Phillies or the Brewers, it's unlikely, but you got to just see what happens. Maybe the Phillies can come back a little and you can still find yourself getting a bye. But overall, when you talk about good news and starting pitching, That goes hand in hand, Tony, because not only did they get, you know, even Pivetta pitched well in a place that's been a house of horrors for him. So he lost Friday night, but three straight well-pitched games from the starters. Tonight is Darvish, and then tomorrow night it'll be the return of Michael King.
The King is back.
The King is returned, so I think that's, you know, that's going to be, to me, the first of four starts for him. I just wanted to go out there. I don't care if it's four innings, Tony, tomorrow night. Just feel comfortable, get a good feel for things, and start working his way back and getting ready to make that start, you know, the weakest, you know, October 1st, which is going to be the next big one for him.
Yeah. No, I think that is having him come back to tomorrow and, you know, hopefully be able to make the four starts, I think lines up good for Michael. I don't know that it's the perfect scenario. But certainly four starts is a significant amount for you to be able to kind of find your rhythm. Not to say that it's the right amount, but it's a good amount for what the circumstances are ahead of the Padres. And adding him to the rotation obviously slots down everybody. And, you know, I think you're starting to get some of the better matchups in terms of who the starting pitchers are going up against. And so, you know, I think it was a one-off. They've gotten three good starts, and it was a one-off that the Padres' offense looked the way that it looked, because it hasn't really looked like that often. And so, again, it goes back to starting pitching. If you're getting good starting pitching, it allows the offense to kind of do what we've seen them do.
You know, yeah.
Go ahead. No, I
agree, man. Just don't get it blown out of the game in the first four innings. You know, you're going to have a better,
It does seem like we've had a harder time offensively when we're chasing a boatload of runs early.
For sure.
And so, you know, just try to avoid that, whether that's a psychological thing or not. You know, right now, try to avoid that. Keep it close and let that offense kind of methodically do what we've seen them do over the last few.
You know,
really, their offense has been,
it's been fine.
Yeah. Been more than fine.
Yeah. Friday night, I know the fans are ready to give up the entire organization. Scraby was at the lead of that category.
That was frustrating.
Of course it's frustrating. You don't want to get shut out by Kyle Freeland.
You don't.
But the guy's, you know, he's a big league pitcher. He was a first-round draft choice. He's capable of pitching a good game. He hasn't done it this year. But, man, he was, you know, he's on his game. That just, you got to come back the next day and score 10, and that's what they did, and came back and scored 8. The one consistent thing that I've seen, Tony, ever since the trade deadline, and sometimes it gets lost in the shuffle of losing some games, the bottom of the lineup continues to be a real threat.
Dynamite.
And you look at yesterday, Sheets was 2-for-5, hit a home run. Merrill was 3-for-5, hit a home run. Cronenworth was 2-for-5. Fermin was 2-for-4, had 3 RBIs Saturday night and another RBI yesterday. You get that. You're going to get enough at the top of the order to score runs, and that's a big deal to me, man. These guys continuing, they've been consistently doing it. The OPS of the bottom three is something like plus 250 points from where it was before the trade deadline. That bodes well, and I like it.
So imagine, and I know Manny got it going a little bit, but imagine if he's going right at that point. And so that's, you're hoping that he starts to this is a sign of things to come, because you're right, the bottom of the lineup, since that deadline has, I don't know that there's a better one in baseball right now. I mean, it started a little bit before the deadline because if you remember, Mike Schilt moved Crone down into that 7-8 spot,
right,
which kind of gave it a little bit of life. And then you got Laureano showing up, Fermin showed up, and now all of a sudden, you know, you got some, you mentioned Sheets was down towards the bottom in yesterday's game. You got some guys that can bring the thunderstick a little bit.
And it's a big deal to the pitcher out there. I know that we may not think of this like this, but as a starting pitcher, any pitcher, you're looking for a little soft spot somewhere. Somewhere where you can not be maybe as razor-focused as you are when you're facing a guy like a Machado or a Tatis. And the Padres, frankly, were giving that to pitchers all year long. But they're not giving them that anymore. They better be focused on the bottom of the order, because they will get hurt. And moving forward, the other thing that I thought was interesting yesterday, We can talk more about it. I know we have a Padre pen pals later, and I bet you somebody will be asking us. But Jake Cronenworth getting the start at shortstop, Arise going to second base. We'll see what they do. Iglesias has not been hitting, but I think he'll be in there tonight against the lefty. I know Dennis Lynn was on this morning with the guys, so we'll see what they do. But I just love great Jake Cronenworth. I'm sorry. I don't. The analytics have driven me crazy because they continue to say that the guy can't play defense. And I know he kicked a ball a couple of weeks ago. It was a big ball, big play. Cost him maybe a game. But, man, that play he made yesterday at shortstop, diving into short left field, that's a play that a really gold glove shortstops make. I just think Cronenworth is such a gamer. I'm so happy he's on our team.
He honestly is one of my favorite players on this team. He just does so many of the things that don't show up on the stats. He's willing to do all the dirty work. I told my man he needs the bionic elbow. He gets hit by a billion pitches a year.
What did he say?
He has been hit a lot.
He refuses to because he's got a hockey mentality. He likes to.
Oh, 364 more days till hockey season.
Exactly. But he honestly is one of my favorites, man. And I think, in part, obviously the additions of Laureano and Fermin have been great. But he was the guy that. Once they dropped him down, it started that bottom portion of the lineup really, really playing. And I just like the way he goes about his business every day, man. You won't notice him a lot of times until he's coming up with that big hit or he has that at bat that leads to the big hit. And that's kind of his role, and he embraces it. He don't ask for much, just shows up and plays, man.
Yeah, I've always been.
You need him to play short. You need him to play third,
right.
First, second. He does it. No questions asked.
Yeah, I don't get. We can get into the analytic thing. I don't get it. I mean, they say honestly, the analytics say he's a minus whatever the statistic is that I've read, and it drives me crazy because I just see him making plays. Padres begin play a game back of the Dodgers. I think the other thing that we didn't touch on is they are now six clear. Of the Reds and the Giants. As recent as Thursday, Friday morning, people were starting to get panicked that we were going to miss the playoffs entirely. So these two wins were very good timing, stretch the margin out. You do have Cincinnati here this week. You got to make sure you beat them at least once. I don't want to settle for that. I want to win this series and keep the heat on the Dodgers. But as long as they don't sweep, it's going to be pretty hard for them to get back in it. Six games with 19 to play. So the Padres are starting to get closer to that playoff berth. That's ultimately where you want to go. And, two victories may not seem like a lot, but they came at the right time for the Friars. We are underway. Gwen and Chris, happy to be with you. It's a Monday. Yes, it was NFL Sunday number one yesterday. We do have the good, the bad, and the Dolphins coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Thank you for calling it by its true name.
It is. It's going to be its true name until they show me they can get out of their own way. I'm going to call it that also. They're so bad. But we'll discuss them more. I know Scraby wants to get his little 49er gang thing in there at some point.
Is that what
yes.
it is?
Yes, we'll get that lined up.
We'll have to hear about that and the game last night, by the way, was insane. We got to talk about that. So NFL Week 1 provided a lot of thrills and spills, and we got that coming up. And later on, we do have a Pen Pals and all the rest of it. So stick around. Glad you're with us. Gwen and Chris, hello.
Hi.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, nope, that's not it. 2:19 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello.
What? Were you about to say 8:19?
I was going to say 8:19.
Okay.
It says, you know, on my computer, it says September 8th, and it's like right next to the
sounds like
clock.
A Mac problem.
Yeah,
to me.
I'm not giving you that.
Sounds like an Apple
that's
problem.
That's a 8:19, I believe, is the time in Pango Pango right now.
Pango, I don't know where Pango Pango is, but
I don't even know where that is, honestly. So. I believe
place?
It is a real place.
Pango,
yes.
Pango,
Pango,
okay.
Pango. I think it's somewhere. It's a Samoan island out there.
Anyway. Got things. I don't
mind.
Even know where to go from there.
Yeah, I don't think you can go anywhere from there.
Couple of things. We already mentioned that Michael King will make his debut, or his return, I should say, from the IL in tomorrow's ball game. Looking forward to that. NFL. Kicked off in a major way this weekend. Finally, the NFL is back. As Chris said, we have a good, a bad, and the Dolphins coming your way in the next segment.
Makes me so happy.
Why? My, you hate my sadness? I swear to God, Tony, we did not. You
oh
and I.
Oh my goodness.
We did not. Tony, you and I did not take full advantage last December. When the 49ers were collapsing into last place.
We did not
step on his throat enough during that time.
See, the problem is,
not only did they finish last, they lost straight up to the Dolphins during that run.
Yes, they did.
And I didn't rub it in.
You took it easy on
you. Yes, we took it easy on you. And now I'm really angry that we did that.
All right.
Should have never done it.
All right, I won't.
Because you're already 1 week in. And you're already lambasting me.
Bang, bang, Niner guy.
All right, see, that's it. It's going to be, we missed our chance.
I think your best bet, Chris, is to lose, and this is, I'm being dead serious, lose as many games as possible, as quick as possible, so they can move on from the situation they got a head coach. There you go.
What's that, McDaniel?
Yeah, he's not the right guy.
Pretty sure he's the wrong guy. Pretty sure.
They're already fighting on the sideline.
Right.
Game one.
Yeah.
Tyreek's already blowing up. Like, what are you... Tyreek, this is not about you.
No, it's about him. It was so bad that somebody had to say something. And at least he was willing to, you know, lose his cool on the sideline. I don't want to do Dolphin talk today, but it's because I could. And I don't think people tune in to hear that here. But it was worse than the score, like in my mind, way worse. And the score was not pretty. So suffice to say, the rest of the football was pretty good. And, you know, everybody got their fantasy season started. We got our... Survivor pool started. I will say this. I looked up the Survivor pool results today. All but two people advanced to the next round.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's good. Everybody.
I was one of them.
You advanced. Okay, just about everybody advanced. Here, the two people that did not advance picked the Dolphins. I was like, what?
Yeah, that's...
In
they
what
didn't
world
play.
Were you...
They didn't really want to play.
Yeah. Maybe...
They were just
they
signing
really
up for
play.
Fun. Yeah, they didn't really want to play.
That's me playing poker. At some point, I'm just like, I'm going to go all in so I can be done with this game.
Yeah, I can go home. So all those two people are out, but
who'd
everybody
you guys
else
pick?
Survived.
I sweat out my Arizona Cardinals pick.
I'm pretty sure I took the Raiders.
The Raiders.
That was a bit risky. I took the Broncos, who did not really look impressive, but were able to win.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was a good week of football. The Sunday night game. Just incredible. I mean, but, you know, you cannot stop playing if you're the Ravens. And I thought that they just thought the game was over. And you've got Josh Allen over there, and he's going to keep slinging it and running it. And John Harbaugh's taking a really a beating in the media because he punted the ball back to Josh Allen rather than go for it on 4th and 2. To clinch the game. And, you know, this is the way football is now, Tony. You can't give the ball to a Josh Allen. You have to almost go for it in your own territory because you know he's going to go down and win the game, and that's exactly what he did. So
yeah, the quarterbacks in the league now are so good.
They're too
especially
good.
Especially the top-tier ones. You just can't. It's no different than Brady when he was on the other side. Like, these guys are that good. Josh Allen specifically, Lamar Jackson specifically. Don't give them another chance in a close game to come down the field and beat you, because more often than not, they will. And so You know, I think the Ravens, I didn't feel like the Ravens stopped playing. They just do what the Ravens consistently do in tight games. They make mistakes. It was the fumble.
Yeah, it was the fumble. Yeah,
from Derrick Henry. Him.
No, you're
yeah,
right.
That's what set up the final drive that that Josh Allen had. And so that's the thing that, as we're talking about the Ravens since we brought it up, that's the thing that we'll be watching for. Nobody's probably going to be watching during the regular season. It'll come postseason. Well, all that matters for the Ravens. Can you guys not make the mistakes right. that you have
made? And if
made
you go back over... to the playoff in Buffalo yep. last year, they made the yep. mistakes and lost the game. You're
the year
right.
before, it was the same thing. They made the mistakes, they lost the game. And that is going to continue to hover over the Ravens until that is fixed.
The Chiefs lost their opening game, which I thought was fun for everybody. I don't think anybody didn't enjoy that.
I picked them to miss the playoffs, so...
Well,
starting out great.
Yeah, you're off to a 0-1 start. Yeah, congratulations.
It's not going
to
end well, buddy.
Congratulations there, Copernicus.
If, you're on to something. Maybe if Travis Kelce wasn't so busy getting engaged, he would have known his route and not hurt his own player.
Copernicus was not...
Yeah, he was an astronomer.
He was an astronomer. Nostradamus was the predictor.
Yes,
so
yes.
I got my philosophers mixed up
Did you hear my Travis Kelce slam?
Yeah, and I went right past it because I'm tired of that whole thing.
It's kind of a stupid one.
I mean, if he was paying attention to the playbook, you wouldn't have heard Xavier Worthy. Now Xavier Worthy's out for indefinitely. So.
How about Xavier Worthy? Put a little meat on your bones, buddy. You can't be getting, you know, shoulder checked by your own receiver, running his route as well, and being like out for the game. Like you gotta see it coming, brother. You're so, not winning that matchup.
August says Nostra Scrabis. I like it. I like it.
Don't fill his head up anymore.
I like it.
Fernando Tatis Jr. having a pretty good season so far. Has a chance to become one of three guys to ever do this. His DRS, he has a 3 DRS right now, which is defensive runs saved. We know he's been having a terrific year.
He's only saved 3? Seems like he's... No, I know. I'm kidding, but... He saved. It seems like he saved like 15 runs, a month with his defense. So
he could be one of the only players to have a 20 homer, 20 bag, 20 DRS season. That's Bonds, Betts, Jones, Andrew Jones. That is so on the cusp of joining some pretty elite company. Despite
people like me saying that he's struggling. So I'm just saying that's true. Look, he's hitting the ball with a lot more authority lately, and he hit the old 3-run homer Saturday night, which kind of got them going. And you know, I always talk too much about the 3-run homer, but it does win games, and it was good timing for that. Certainly, Trey Turner, by the way, baseball news is on the IL, hamstring, may not even come back this regular season. They are hopeful that he makes the playoffs roster for the Phillies, but that's another one. I mean, they already took a shot with Zach Wheeler.
Yep.
And now Trey Turner's leading the league in hitting for what that's worth. I know Luis Arraez fans or haters don't think winning a batting title means anything. But,
okay, we could do without those comments moving forward, Chris.
Well, I can't help it. Trey Turner's...
can't help it.
Yeah, he's probably going to win the batting title, and I think he is a really good player, you know, despite what some people may say about batting titles. So that's a big blow to the Phillies for sure. He says he hopes to be back by the playoffs, but we'll see.
You know what's interesting is that the Phillies are the next closest team to the Dodgers right now in terms of division leaders. Remember, that second spot gets a bye. I mean, Philly needs that bye probably more than any team in the right. dance right now because of these things you just kind of went over. But when you lose a Wheeler, I think Alec Bohm is also going to be
He's on the IL. He went on the IL today, too.
He's going on the IL, too.
Yeah.
They could be in jeopardy of losing that second spot. And that second spot is the bye. The third spot plays the last wild card, which at this point is
The Mets. Yeah.
This thing is not settled by any stretch of the imagination.
I would love it if the Padres went about 14-5 here. They'd have to make up 5 games to catch the Phillies. The Phillies are 5 up on them. But, you know, until they say I'm eliminated from getting a bye, I would love to be able to get that bye. My second choice, of course, is to catch the Dodgers and at least get a 3 seed. And my next choice is to have to is to catch the Cubs and at least get the 4 seed, so I'm home for this first round. There's a lot still to go. Even though the Padres are 6 games clear in terms of being in the playoffs, where they are in the playoffs matters. And you know what it matters, Tony? Until the day they give the playoff schedule. Then right, just go matter. Play what you play.
Right.
You know, you
100%.
Don't complain anymore, right? If you got to go to Chicago, you go to Chicago and you play. But
yep.
Up until then, to me, you fight for it. The Padres have been one of, if not the best, and I think they're close, the best home record in baseball, or one of. So you certainly want to play at home if you can. And there's still a good chance to do that. So,
all right, let's step away. Let's get to break. When we come back, GBU or GBD coming up next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I believe it or not, we are pretty much full of mostly good news today. Padres and Reds, game one of the series tonight at Petco Park. Tomorrow night, Padres and Reds, not only will Michael King be there, but, that was going to be the perfect transition. We have tickets, but not for the game tomorrow, Wednesday. I thought it was for tomorrow. So I was making, not only will Michael King be there, but you'll be there. Apparently not.
That would have been a great radio tease.
Would have been a good transition, but instead, you'll be there Wednesday. We do have a pair of tickets to give away to this Wednesday's Padres-Reds game. It is an evening game. It's not a day game Wednesday. It's at 5:40, an hour earlier, the start on Wednesday, just so you're aware. But 5:40 and the first 40,000 fans Wednesday night are going to receive the Dylan Cease no-hitter bobblehead. Details at Padres.com/giveaways. Dylan Cease, now 1-8 on the road after yesterday. We haven't mentioned the Aztecs football for good reason. No reason really to bring that up. Instead, let's revisit.
Started out well.
I know, 7-0. They went right down the field. Boom, boom, boom. I thought, okay.
Here we go.
Yeah. That didn't work after that. Yeah. Go ahead,
before
Tony.
Before we get into GBD, GBU,
yeah.
there is a lineup.
Ooh, I haven't seen it
yet. We probably
yet.
Should get that out before we get into GBU.
Good call. I think you're right.
Chris is right. Jose Iglesias back in the lineup. He'll be in the 7th spot tonight playing shortstop. Fernando in the leadoff. Luis in the 2-hole. Manny Machado in the 3-hole. Gavin Sheets cleaning up. Ramon Laureano batting 5th. Jackson Merrill patrolling center field. Iglesias at short. Cronenworth at 2nd. He'll bat 8th. And Freddie Fermin behind the dish for the Pods. He'll bat 9th.
Why do I take the time to bring this up, but Ryan O'Hearn, not in the lineup. Don't shoot the messenger. We just gave you the lineup.
Yeah. That's all we got.
Yeah, I know. People really are
really
they're protective of Ryan O'Hearn around here. A lot of people think he should be in there every single day, regardless. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying Mike Schilt makes the call.
Careful.
Yeah, careful, Chris.
Mike Schilt makes the call.
Trying to
all
see.
Right. Someone back to you, Chris.
Thank you, sorry. Tony. Appreciate that lineup update.
Real quick.
What do you got?
I'm trying to look for Nick Lodolo's splits.
Lodolo, the lefty for the lefty tonight.
Yes, I'm not sure why I can't find them, so we'll
all
have
right.
to
well,
just
why don't you
move
look
along.
At it while we play the intro for today's.
We don't have an intro. It's
what?
Been deleted from the system.
What?
Yep. I have no idea where it is.
So I that's what you meant to say.
Were you meant? Were you planning to tell me that at some point?
That's what he meant to say.
I was looking for it. Go ahead, Tony.
That's what he meant to say, was that he has no idea where it's at. I don't think it's been deleted.
Well, if I type in good, bad, ugly, or GBU, or good, comma, bad, comma, nothing comes up. Nothing comes up on the computer on the left of me, so I got to go search my files at home, guys. Oh, I think I have it, actually.
Bang, bang, again.
There we go.
Well, I'm glad you played that. I'm glad you played that, because they're not part of today's good, bad, and ugly. They didn't get in there. But here we go. Week one recap. And we definitely got to start with the good. And that was the game last night. We touched on it already. Buffalo, Baltimore, all Ravens, all night, all King Henry, Lamar. What a catch, by the way, D-Hop made.
Oh, my goodness.
Going back to the 99 days with that catch.
True.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, I knew you'd right. First thing that popped into my head, Tony, when I saw it, I'm like, that's a 99.
It was.
But Josh Allen, he kept on going, and so did James Cook, as it turned out.
Allen back in the shotgun, Cook to his left side. Play clock melts to four. Cook moves up to the line of scrimmage, now back into the backfield. Play clock down to one. Allen gets the snap. Blitz coming up the middle. Allen throws short right, caught by Cook, picks up a block, makes a man miss, fights off Roquan Smith, 40, 35, 30, cuts left, 25, down to the 20, to the 15, still on his feet, 10, outside the numbers of the 5, lowers his shoulder and down to the 1. A touchdown saving tackle made down at the 1 by Wiggins.
Yeah, don't do that to fantasy owners, by the way. Run and weave your way 63 yards down the field and get tackled at the 1.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal.
But that was part of the Buffalo comeback. And as we know by now, by the way, was that a score, Gami? It's got to be. 41-40.
Oh,
that can't
look.
Possibly have ever existed in an NFL game before.
Let me look.
Great game to start off Sunday Night Football. While you're looking for that.
You're right.
It was.
It was Scorigami.
I imagined.
Scorigami, for people who don't know, is a score that's never happened in NFL history.
Right. Now it has. Also good yesterday. It's hard for me to admit this. But Aaron Rodgers, 4 touchdown passes for the old fella. I did read a little deeper into his performance, and it wasn't really that shiny. It just sounded good with the 4 touchdowns. He got it done, and the Steelers won the game over the Jets on a 60-yard field goal by Chris Boswell.
Yeah.
That's another thing with these NFL. You said last segment, Tony, you can't give the quarterback the ball at the end of the game. Honestly, if you don't make a 50-yard or 60-yard field goal, you can't be in the NFL anymore.
That's part of the reason why you can't give it to the quarterback, because now they have, they don't just have to score a touchdown.
Right.
They can kick a 65-yarder and make it look easy.
Right. Just get the ball over midfield now and let these guys win it. Pittsburgh beats the Jets 34-32, although I think there was a lot of good there for the Jets. They got Fields now. They got some offense. Jets are going to be better. Friday night in Brazil, Justin Herbert, he got it done. Outplayed Patrick Mahomes, and he was able to find the very often disappointing Quentin Johnston to help win this one for the Bolts.
Herbert's throwing, fading back, over the middle! Johnston! Touchdown, Chargers! Flag is down late after the play.
It was on the Chiefs. I mean, you know that everybody was waiting for them to call that one back. I don't know that the Chiefs got
personal
any...
Personal foul?
Yeah,
we can't have the Chiefs losing.
Yeah, he must have pushed off to get open. Mahomes incumbent. I will say this. Mahomes made, again, he keeps doing this, and, people are getting on to him now. And I don't know if you saw it, guys.
But was it the fake slide?
No, he didn't fake slide.
No, no fake slide.
Okay.
Stop it.
He did not fake slide, but he did run to the sideline, and the guy let up to let him, just run out of bounds.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then Mahomes lowered his shoulder and knocked the guy down. And people thought that was a cheap play by Mahomes. Now, I think it's good hard football, but then don't whine if they lowered a shoulder and hit you next time. That's all.
Just so that everybody is clear on what the actual rule is, because it just oftentimes And that's why it's important to point out what Scraby was falsely saying, that he fake slid. If it becomes a problem when you are pretending like you're going to slide and a guy lets up, and then you don't slide. That's a cheap move. What's okay, what's perfectly illegal, is for you to be completely in bounds and show no indication that you're sliding, and you lower your shoulder and you hit a defender that's not ready. It's no different than boxing, right? If you put your hands down, you might get hit in the face and might get knocked out. And so at this point, defensive players, if Patrick Mahomes has 2 feet in the playing field, you are allowed to hit him as hard as you want.
But they're scared now, Tony, because they've been called.
Yeah.
Time and time again.
They've been called for when he's been out of, or when any quarterback has had any type of space out of bounds. In that particular play you're talking about, he was nowhere near looking like he was running out of bounds. He was running right at that defender who let up way too early, and he got made look like a jackass for it, basically.
I'm on the Scraby side here, which is rare. I would, because at that, to me, if that defender lowers his shoulder and pops Mahomes and knocks him sideways onto the side.
Oh, he's left in Brazil. He's not.
I bet
out.
You he that, stops I, doing it, though. That is the real intent of it. Is, yes, you might get fined, and maybe it's worthy of a fine. Because I guarantee you, if you hit Patrick Mahomes hard enough, coming to that sideline, and you get a fine, I promise you, if he's concussed, he's not going to be playing around in those games anymore. Yeah. You got to hit him. You just got to hit him.
Okay. I'm going to remember that next time I'm in that position on the sideline. Patrick Mahomes is running out of bounds.
I think we can all crowdsource enough money to pay the fine for whatever player is.
The good news was the Chiefs did lose.
It's easy because it ain't our money. So, you know, they can go ahead and get fined all they want.
By the way, you can't count on much out there, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for the first year. That's like $250 a month. Come on. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL. Get started. On to the bad we go. And I thought at the top of the list this weekend was the Lions. I mean, this is a team that's supposed to go right back to, you know, take the pain from that Washington loss in the playoffs and apply it and dominate the NFC. They got dominated by the new-look Packers.
Second and 10. His Goff's being chased by Parsons.
Oh.
Out! He's got him!
There we go.
That was literally a commercial for buffering.
Finish your call, Jim Nance.
Being chased by Parsons. Look out. He's got him.
There you go.
Micah Parsons had that sack. He also had 3 pressures, and the Packers kept the Lions completely bottled up. I did read a lot of people are concerned about the Lions because their offensive line is in some disarray, and they did not run the ball at all yesterday, and if they don't run, that takes away a lot of that play action stuff. So we'll see. Packers really look good though in a 27-13 victory. The Lions only scored right at the end of the game, so it was pretty dominant.
I mean, not only that, they lost their offensive coordinator, lost their defensive coordinator. Like,
fair
they
enough.
Got a whole new identity.
Yeah, fair call, Tony. We'll see. Lions have to pick themselves back up. Also in the bad was the I just thought this game was bad. Bengals, Browns, the Battle of Ohio.
That was bad.
Bengals, powerhouse offense. The old Ja'Marr Chase, number one fantasy pick, was it 4 for 19 or something? It was not a good day for him.
No.
Only 18 yards for the Bengals, but they win. Are they 18 yards in the fourth quarter?
I was going to say, what?
Right.
That is crazy.
Yeah, but they win the game because the Browns bring the this happens every year. They bring the rookie kicker in to win the game, and he just totally chokes.
He
short
missed
field
several
goal.
During the game.
He missed
too.
2.
Yeah.
Right in the fourth quarter. And if you can pronounce that guy's name, you win a prize. Scrape, do you want to try it? Browns
I
rookie kicker?
I know it has a bunch of letters that don't come together.
There's absolutely no vowels in this guy's name.
Spell it.
I'm going to tell you. Here we go. I'm looking it up. The kicker is Andre S-Z-M-Y-T. As I said, no vowels.
Schmidt.
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 Okay, well, Schmidt. I don't think so. Anyway, his name is Dirt in Cleveland right now after he missed those field goals.
Wow.
Cincinnati wins.
Dirt.
17.
Did he sleep with the fishes?
He might. People take these games seriously. Also in the bad category, more kicker woes. Our old friend, Youngway Koo. Mm. Boo-hoo Koo.
Oh.
Badly misses. Like, he missed it by 30 yards right.
He did.
A tying chip shot. The Buccaneers had just missed an extra point before that, which set it up for the Falcons. So the kicking was off in this game, but Tampa Bay wins 23-20. Emeka Egbuka.
Chris loves this.
Well, you know, he's supposed to be the big rookie guy, and he did catch two touchdowns to lead Tampa Bay to the win. All right, on to the ugly we go. Tony, go ahead, Tony.
No, I was saying, like ugly. Here we go.
Ugly, yeah, I know. I'm going to save the worst for last. We'll start with Jalen Carter. He's got to be in the ugly category.
This is, I can't.
Go ahead, Tony. Give me your thoughts, because we didn't get to hear from you on this Friday.
I just can't understand that. Like, I don't understand, like, what possesses you to want to spit on somebody. Like, it is the most disrespectful thing that you can do to anybody. Like, I wouldn't be mad at, I commend Dak for not trying to find the sharpest weapon out there and chasing after him. Like, that's the kind of, that's the kind of disrespect that
I think
that
he was
is.
Stunned. I think he was stunned.
Dak did it first,
I think anybody would be. I think anybody would be, and at some point, red comes over you. Like, that is just like the worst thing you can do to another human being, I think, is spit on them.
I think Dak spit on the ground, and I think Jalen thought that they were into a spitting contest, and so he went over there.
I did read the quote that Dak said after the game where Carter apparently said to him, "Did you just try to spit on me?"
Yeah, he did say that, and Dak was like, "No," in his choice words.
Yeah, well, the NFL still hasn't come down on discipline that I've
heard.
Oh,
they won't, because it's the Eagles. Eagles
and Chiefs. He's going to get suspended. For sure.
I think they have to say something here. The NFL is making a big deal out of sportsman-like behavior, which I commend them for finally doing. And this is as bad, as Tony said, as bad as it is. So anyway, we'll see. The Eagles did win 24-20. I didn't really have a second ugly, so I put Russell Wilson in there just for fun. He had a bad game. The Commanders beat the Giants 21-6. After the game, Giants coach was asked about Russell Wilson, he wouldn't commit.
He did today.
And he did today. Yeah. But I just think that that's, you know, he was hedging his bet
there. I hesitate to even, you know what, I'm not going to bring it up, because I didn't do any research to see if one of the things that popped up on my Twitter about him going to the ownership and asking if he could put Jackson Dart in. I don't know if it was actually true, but I did see that pop up on Twitter somewhere.
Yeah,
anything anymore.
Yeah, go figure if it's true or not.
We have a Debo highlight here, but I'm not going to play it because I want to leave time for the ugliest of all, the Dolphins. Just embarrassed by the Colts. 33-8 was the score. I will tell you this. The Colts had 7 possessions, Tony. 3 touchdowns, 4 field goals. No punts, no turnovers. They scored every time they had the ball. The Dolphins stopped them one time and then roughed the kicker.
And kept the one time they got it
they
right, huh?
They ran right into the kicker. So, I mean, this organization is a mess. This isn't my opinion. They don't have NFL-caliber cornerbacks, defensive backs. And the best guy they have did leave the game yesterday. Don't know if he'll be back. I think his name is Storm Duck. But he's out.
Shut up.
Wait,
that's
shut
his
up.
Name.
Storm Duck.
That's the Miami number one cornerback, but he's out.
Are we throwing darts at naming people these days?
Maybe so. Tua was absolutely terrible. Somebody came out today, and I want to read this right. Well, I have a second.
Do you want to hear the interception?
Yeah, give me the interception. I'm looking this up.
Tagovailoa with time. Now fires over the middle. Picked off. It's Latu. Dropping in coverage on the return, and he's taking.
That was a defensive lineman.
Yeah, I think that's embarrassing as it gets for a quarterback, doesn't it, Tony? A defensive lineman dropping back and picking you off.
Yeah.
There was, who said this today? Oh, Xavier Howard, the old Dolphin, who's now with the Colts, said all we had to do was get the pressure on him, and he goes into panic mode. Hey, look,
He's not wrong.
I didn't say he is. I'm just saying the criticisms of the Dolphins are coming from every corner, and it's deserved. I don't know what you saw, Tony, in a brief comment.
I'd be lying to you if I saw anything but the highlights.
Well, you're smart. It was really, it was worse than that. The highlights were bad.
Red Zone wouldn't even go to the Dolphins.
They didn't go to the game
yesterday.
In the second half. They're just like, you know what? This is a waste of our time. Colts, we're not giving the Colts any credit, but it's hard to give any credit to the Daniel Jones team, but he looked clean with no pressure and no coverage. It's pretty easy to complete passes at that level. We'll come back with more.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.